Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY for Community Conversations. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler, and today we're discussing local veterans services with Brian Holt, the Bonner County Veterans Services Officer. Brian is an advocate for veterans who need to make claims with the Veterans Administration, and he gives a ton of information today about the services available to vets. So if you're a veteran or you have one in your life, there's a lot of good information to follow. First, a word about this show. We air Community Conversations every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. with recorded interviews on local issues. Plus, there's a podcast of each show that is available after airtime on our website at krfy.org. Community Conversations is actually just a stand-in for the live morning show that formerly aired at this time. Someday, when we get past the coronavirus concerns that have kept our studio closed, the morning show and its live interviews will be back. In the meantime, we hope these recorded interviews help keep you informed. With that, let's get on with today's interview. We're speaking with Brian Holt. He's the Bonner County Veterans Service Officer. Brian, thanks for talking with us today.
Well, Chris, thanks for inviting me in.
Brian, so let's start at the start. Tell us what the County Veterans Service is and what it's about.
So I work for the county as an advocate of veterans to the VA. The county hired me to take care of about 4,600 to 6,000 veterans in Bonner County and a little bit of surrounding counties to just help them get into the VA system.
Okay, so to be clear, you don't work for the VA. You actually work for the county as an advocate for our local veterans.
That's correct.
So where's your office?
The office is at the Bonner County Admin Center, 1500 Highway 2, Suite 122, just on the southwest part of Sandpoint.
And if a veteran or a veteran's family is listening, they want to get them connected with you, do they need to make an appointment?
That's the best way to do it. That way they wouldn't have to wait in the line out in the waiting room.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll mention it a couple times. Why don't you go ahead and give us your office phone number?
Phone number is area code 208-255-5291, extension 1.
Okay, so that's how folks could get in touch with you if they want to take some action after we end up talking here. So you just spelled out you don't work for the VA. Rather, you are an advocate for veterans before the VA. So let's back up a little bit. We have a lot of veterans in town. You mentioned there's over 4,000 to 6,000 veterans. What qualifies an individual as a veteran?
Just to have a DD-214, DD or Delta-Delta 214, that's the discharge paperwork. Prior to 1950, they had an AG-51-53, but about 1950, the Korean War time, they standardized it, calling it the DD or Department of Defense 214. And prior to 1980, they just had to have 90 days active duty. And after 1980, it was 2 years active duty.
Okay. And this covers all branches of the service, I presume?
Yes, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard.
Okay. And I imagine we have some veterans that do, I don't know how many we might still have going back to World War II.
There's a few. The ranks are becoming thinner, of course. And we'll have several Korean, but most of them that I help are in the Vietnam War timeframe and closer to the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you are working with our veterans and helping them with issues that come up with the VA, what types of issues do come up?
A lot of them come in for one of two reasons. One, it would be the medical help that the VA provides. And the second is benefits, which includes two parts, disability compensation or a pension, which is a financial need-based assistance.
Mm-hmm. And how about spouses? How are spouses involved with services from VA?
If the veteran is 100% disabled, then the spouse can get in on CHAMP-VA, C-H-A-M-P-V-A. And but most of it is primarily for the medical anyway, for the veteran, if there is a pension that is needed, then the VA does provide extra support if the veteran is married or has dependent children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there different parts of the VA? Medical is obviously a big one, but are there other types of areas that you end up helping guys with?
Yeah. So there's three arms of the VA: Veteran Health Administration, Veteran Benefit Administration, and Veteran Cemetery Administration. Cemetery is pretty obvious. That's for end of life, passing, et cetera. The Veteran Health is so they can get medical help, and then the Veteran Benefit is for many, many different things, everything from disability compensation all the way to education benefits.
Okay, it's a pretty wide spectrum then. A lot of places where you could be really helpful to folks, I bet.
It is. So
how long does it take for an individual to, a veteran that needs to make a claim, how long does it take them to make a claim and get an answer from the VA on that?
Well, if they have their DD-214 and we can get the paperwork filled out, from the time I send it in, the goal of the VA is to have an answer back to the veteran within 125 days.
Okay.
So that's for a normal claim. And now with the augmentation program for appeals, they even have the appeals are designed to be done within 125 days. It used to be several years would go by before the claim is settled.
Boy, I was going to say 125 days, that's 4 months. That sounds like a pretty good stretch of time right there.
Pretty good clip. Now, the pension for a veteran or a surviving spouse, if the veteran passes, the surviving spouse can also apply for a pension. That pension application normally takes 5 to 6 months. And there are even some today, I have a couple of cases where they've been waiting for 16 months and they still don't have an answer for a variety of reasons.
And so can you, as our services officer, help speed that along with the VA?
Well, only if the veteran is terminal or there's some other reason why it would need to be expedited. But the VA gets 1.4 million claims every year.
Wow. Okay. Well, that kind of explains the lag time, doesn't it? Well, some people say that the paperwork is very cumbersome, even overwhelming. They might skip it for that reason, but how would you respond to that?
If you do it for the first time, yes, it is overwhelming. It took me 6 months to figure out what I was doing when I got into the job because I didn't know about all the benefits until I had this job. So it does seem overwhelming. There's so many blocks on it. And because of the many different exceptions and questions people have had, and even when people have tried to get over the system, they've extended the forms longer and longer, like any government institution. And it really helps to have somebody who does it all the time. The reason why I offer myself, not only because it's my job, but because I'm able to keep track of the forms, scan them in, and I can find out the status of the forms for the veteran when they ask.
So what about the veteran that says, hey, there are other people who need help more than me? What would you say to him?
Well, that's a great, I tell him, hey, thanks so much for your service, first of all, because I want to make sure that they understand that they are appreciated. Second of all, veterans from many different situations do have different needs. But then I look at the veteran and I consider two things. The first one is that you went through the military, and if you were injured or had incurred some kind of an illness in the military, the VA is offering to help with that either medically and or through disability compensation. So I'll offer that to them and show them what the possibilities are. The second aspect is I have many Vietnam veterans who will make that kind of a comment, and I'll look at them and with a shepherd's look, I'll say, you know, yes, that's your situation, but I'm also thinking of your wife, because if you pass, I've had many Vietnam veterans who were in Vietnam exposed to Agent Orange and now have diabetes or Parkinson's or ischemic heart disease or a number of other presumptive conditions that if they die or pass earlier in life, then I can help their spouse get what is called DIC, dependency and indemnity compensation. And I've helped many different spouses. Well, for example, I'm helping a spouse right now. I have a veteran who was in World War II, Operation Castle. Operation Castle was the Navy, or the military was testing atomic bombs out in the Pacific Ocean. And many sailors were on ships that were close to that. The winds blew the fallout toward them. And then many of them, because of the radiation, picked up some kind of cancer. This particular veteran, he didn't do anything about it. He passed just this summer. And when I heard the story from his wife, I said, wow, he should have applied for disability a long time ago. Let me help you. So now I'm in the process of helping the surviving spouse who was going to be living on a very small Social Security. She's going to be helped by the VA. The DIC for a surviving spouse is $1,340 a month.
That could be very helpful. So if we have spouses listening, for one, if your husband is still with us, get him on board. If he's not, guys are notoriously bad about that, taking care of their health. And but for two, even spouses that are survivors of a veteran husband, they're eligible for benefits.
Yes.
Any other types of benefits? Anything else you should mention in that regard?
Well, the surviving spouse, so many do not know about it. And a lot of people, I'll just bring it out right now, they'll come to me and say, I'd like to apply for aid and attendance. Well, aid and attendance is always associated with a pension. And the pension is, again, financial need-based. A pension for a surviving spouse is very meager. It is not very much, but it, in many cases, it does help. If the surviving spouse applying for a pension, the way the VA works it out in a nutshell is they look at the total household income, they subtract off out-of-pocket medical expenses, that equals the real income, and then they compare that to the maximum annual pension rate, which has one of three different health levels: healthy, housebound, aid and attendance. The healthy is, you can have a lot of troubles, but for example, if you're driving, you're healthy. If you're in bed or at home and you have to be driven around, that might be housebound. The aid and attendance is, you're not only housebound, but you need help with activities of daily living. And there's a form that we send to the doctor fills out, that helps the VA make that decision.
Mm-hmm. What about those cases that you see reported on occasionally where, let's say, a veteran had to go to the ER for something, but the VA refuses to pay for that? What are some of the reasons that the VA might refuse to pay?
That has been a very frequent thing that has come up. Many veterans who go to the ER, even they'll call the VA and say, what should I do? The VA is obligated to say, well, you need to go to the emergency room. But when the VA says that, that doesn't obligate the VA to pay for that emergency room visit. For example, I've had a skier who was on a Schweitzer and was injured, came down with ski patrol and wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So he went to the ER room. He was taken care of at Bonner General and he was released to go home. And then he got a bill for it because the hospital billed the VA. The VA refused it, denied the claim, and because he was not service connected. So, and what I mean by that is if he was, for example, had a bad knee and he was skiing and he broke his knee and the hospital fixed his knee, well, then the VA is going to fix that knee. But if he wasn't, for example, injured in some way that was service connected, then the VA will deny the claim. So what I have done to, in that particular case, we wrote up the appeal in a way that established a question from the veteran's mind saying that he wasn't sure if he had some kind of internal injuries. And that's why he went to the ER room. So from his perspective, it was a matter of life and death, which is one of the other caveats of that, if you will, that if it, from a layman's perspective, if it is considered a life and death situation, then the VA will pay that. But again, if it's not service connected, the VA may not. And we went through a court situation with the VA. If somebody has Medicare, what happens is the VA will say, well, you have other health insurance, OHI, and so we're going to let them pay. And so for a while, the VA was not paying the other 20% that the Medicare would pay. So the VA would deny the claim. The veteran would be billed by the hospital for the other 20%. They would come in to me, we would talk to them, and for a while the VA would not do it, but now it looks like the VA misread what the law said, so now they are becoming secondary to the VA. And there are three laws that govern this, 1703, 1725, and 1728, and we have to look at all the little nuances of the law in order to help the veteran to see if the VA is going to pay or not. A few things to consider.
No question about that. I'm going to throw in a station ID here. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we're talking today with Brian Holt. He's the Bonner County Services Officer for Veterans. And Brian, what's your phone number again? Let's put that out there in case somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Sure. Phone number is 208-255-5291, extension 1.
Okay. And your office is in the county building there on Highway 2. Brian, what is aid in attendance?
Well, aid in attendance is a higher level of health care, and it helps on the pension, for example. For example, if a veteran is applying for a pension and he is at the aid in attendance level, which means that he needs help with the activities of daily living, such as eating or toiletry or hygiene or medication management, or he's blinded in some way or needs help with his finances, he would be considered at the aid in attendance level. And the of those three health levels that I recently mentioned, the healthy level might be at 16,000 maximum annual pension rate. The housebound might be at 19,000, and then the aid in attendance might be at 26,000. Let me give you an example, Chris. Okay. I've got a veteran who, this was several years ago. He's a single veteran living at home, and his total income was about $37,000 a year. You know, pretty good income for a single person who's retired. But because he was at the aid and attendance level, he would have people come into his home that needed to help him with the activities of daily living. He was in a wheelchair. His out-of-pocket medical expenses were $68,000 a year. So the total income of $37,000 minus the $68,000 meant that he had a negative cash flow of over $30,000. Well, because his the real income was now $0, the maximum annual pension rate for a single veteran at the aid and attendance level was $22,000. He was getting a check for about $1,750 a month, which meant he still had a negative cash flow, but he was able to stay in his home for 4 or 5 years after that because he still had some assets. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's another question. Do veterans have a choice about getting medical help locally, or do they need to go to Spokane for the VA services there?
What a great question. And that is a question that many people ask of me. It's amazing what the VA does, amazing what our country does in order to benefit veterans and bless them. That we have a VA clinic here in town, Sandpoint. It's the Kinnexud Health Services is contracted with the VA to help veterans. It doesn't provide that many services, but it does serve as a referring agency there are probably three PCPs there, primary care providers. And so I have a primary care provider there that I use every year, give a blood draw and urine analysis, and then they tell me what's going on with my physical being. And if I need some help outside, then they contact community care, who establishes an authorization number where I can go into the community. For example, the VA is so busy with optometry, especially because of COVID-19, that they said that I could go to an optometrist here in Sandpoint. Now, they're not going to be able to get to it for 6 weeks or so, they said, because they're so far behind. But at least I don't have to go to Spokane. And a lot of other referrals are done right here in the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of COVID-19, so how has the coronavirus affected veteran services here?
Well, it has slowed it way down, and especially the clinic in town here. They're not seeing veterans like they used to. They do, but they do most of it over the phone, and they follow federal guideline procedures much more than local. So it is more difficult for a veteran to see them. That's one aspect. Another aspect of the COVID-19 is St. Louis, Missouri houses the National Personal Records Center, which is where all the records, the DD-214s, medical records, official military personnel files are kept. And I didn't understand why they couldn't keep providing services, but I found out just a few weeks ago that there are 1,000 people working in several buildings there in small cubicles, and the COVID-19 was spreading throughout the whole building. So they had to keep on shutting it down. And they're just in phase two right now of St. Louis and trying to catch up. They're only providing DD-214 for emergencies and or death situations. So it's frustrating for many veterans waiting to try to get the DD-214.
Mm-hmm. And how about the veterans? A lot of them do have conditions. Have they been subject to more fatalities due to the COVID-19? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, no, I don't have any data on that. I don't believe so. It's we're just blessed to live in northern Idaho, where it's is so low, but across the country, is probably average.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, how is the veteran homeless situation doing now?
You know, it's doing much better in the last, I'd say, 18 months. There's several organizations that work with the VA. There is a homeless department right at the VA. There's Goodwill, SSVF, who helps veterans. In fact, I have a veteran couple that are staying in one of my properties that I was able to get through the Goodwill program. And so we're able to help them. And it's a... there are a lot of other opportunities for veterans to get that.
Brian, is that something that you actually can help with if a veteran is in a bad situation and they're losing their home and they're facing homelessness?
I wish I had a huge apartment complex to do that. Unfortunately, I don't. And so what I do is I give the phone numbers to what I mentioned before. St. Vincent de Paul was another agency that does help veterans. The challenge is, I've had probably three calls in the last 3 weeks of veterans looking for homes or place to stay, and especially so many people moving into this Bonner County, it's very difficult to find anything.
Yeah, and we're in a very tight housing situation here for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what sorts of benefits are available at death for veterans or their survivors?
Yeah, there's several things available, and unfortunately, it's not available to all of them. But if you are receiving any kind of disability, or if you're receiving a pension, if you are in the process of a claim, the VA is going to help with a $300 reimbursement to burial costs. if the veteran dies of a service-connected condition, in other words, if he was a Vietnam veteran who has diabetes because of Agent Orange, and on the death certificate it says caused by diabetes or contributing to the death is from diabetes, then that veteran is going to receive $2,000 toward burial costs. So that's kind of a little bit toward the reimbursement. The veteran also is going to receive a flag that either the funeral home or I can help them with. They can receive a presidential memorial certificate, a number of those. They can be buried at Medical Lake VA Cemetery, which is a state cemetery just southwest of the Fairchild Air Force Base or the Spokane Airport. Or if they're in a private cemetery, they can receive a gravestone or marker that the VA will send to the director of that cemetery in order to honor the veteran. If they already have a gravestone, then they can apply for a medallion that can be affixed to the gravestone or the marker. So there are several options like that. Mm-hmm.
And that's something folks should contact you about to inquire of as well, I think.
More than happy to do that, yes.
Ryan, so I just have a couple of closing questions, but I wanted to put out there, are there any topics that you'd like to make sure that you relate to the folks that are listening?
You know, it's amazing, like myself, 5 years ago, I was very unaware of the benefits that were available. And so I would just encourage you veterans that are out there or family members to encourage a veteran to come on in and let's just sit down and talk and go over them. Maybe there's not anything available, but there often is. If a veteran does have a disability of 40% or more, the state of Idaho provides a discount for hunting and fishing license. So that's a great deal. If the veteran is 100% disabled, they're going to receive free access to all the parks in the state of Idaho. If a veteran is 100% disabled, then the state of Idaho provides a property tax abatement of $1,320 on the property taxes. And so that's something that the veteran has to do each year, but it's a tremendous benefit to them. And if and when the veteran passes because of the service-connected condition, their surviving spouse in the home that she's in, she can get that property tax abatement also. So there's a lot of great benefits that we're not familiar with. The other aspect is that we often hear things from other people that are not quite accurate, even sometimes from VA health people who have the best intentions, best meaning to help a veteran. They work in the medical part. They're not always aware of what the benefits are. And so it's really helpful to come in to talk to somebody who does that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Brian, what service, branch of service were you in?
I was in the Army. Mm-hmm. I was on active duty for 6.5 years and then another 22 years with the Reserves and National Guard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask one more question passed along to me from Bill Litzinger, who's interviewed you in the past. And he says he's heard something about a brown water and a blue water Navy. What's the difference?
Okay, thanks for asking that question. Yeah, so the brown water Navy would be those veterans who are on ships or PT boats that went either on the bays, like Danang Harbor of Vietnam, or went up the waterways. That is considered brown water Navy, and they have had access to making claims since the beginning. Just this year, February, the law was passed that the Blue Water Navy was also to be included, and that included Navy ships that were within 12 nautical miles of the shores of Vietnam, that if a veteran, for example, he was on a ship, destroyer, within the 12 nautical miles, and he comes down with diabetes, he can actually make a claim, and the VA has gone through the process of determining which ships, what time, went within the blue waters of Vietnam, and they could make a claim for exposure to Agent Orange.
Man, there are a lot of nooks and crannies in VA benefits, aren't there?
there really, really are. And, you know, I try not to overwhelm people even when I try to talk about the benefits, but there are so many. And the privilege that I have is that I get to serve a lot of great heroes. My mission statement is serving Bonner County veterans one hero at a time. And so I try to take each one, look at them, and do the best I can to help them where they are. A lot of them continue to suffer the ravages of war and the challenges of jobs. And it's been a real blessing to me to be able to help them.
Brian, I understand there's an event coming up. Why don't you tell us about that?
Hey, thanks, Chris. We have a veteran golf scramble on Sunday, September 20th. It starts at 9 o'clock, so you'd have to get there probably at least by 8:15, 8:30. It's a golf scramble, so foursomes are going out, and it's best ball. It's a great time. We raise money for veterans in Bonner County and Boundary County for health and dental issues that come up to help veterans. And give Linda Tatluck a call. Hopefully it's okay for me to give her phone number. It's 255-1405, 255-1405, area code 208. Linda Tatluck is overseeing it. She does a fantastic job. Not only do we play the rounds, but then there's a great meal afterwards and some raffle items that you can participate in. Mm-hmm.
And it's a fundraiser. Everybody can take part and let's raise some money.
There we go.
Well, Brian Holt, our Bonner County Veterans Service Officer. I tell you what, tell us one more time how folks would get in touch with you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. The phone number is 208-255-5291, extension 1. And I'm in the Bonner County Admin Center, 1500 Highway 2, Suite 122.
Well, Brian, thanks again for talking with us today.
Thanks so much.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our discussion with Brian Holt, the Bonner County Veterans Services Officer. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.